want now to read from James chapter 1, 19 through 25. James chapter 1, 19 through 25. Once again, we have the Word of God before us. Let us hear it. And respond in steadfast love and devotion to it. James 1, beginning verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluidity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man holding his natural face in a glass, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. May God bless this word to our hearts and to our minds. Again, Heavenly Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand the things that are herein written in by Paul in Galatians, by James, and throughout the scriptures concerning faith and works. A topic that has confused many and has led to many and sundry errors and heresies. Keep us on the straight and narrow through thy word, which is read, heard, and preached upon. And it's in your name we pray these things and say these things, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, obviously, James is talking about deeds. He's talking about work. He's talking about the perfect law of liberty. He is speaking about, in another place, he says that if you have faith without works, it's dead. There's no witness to your faith. And so it is something that we need to understand. We know that on the other hand, Paul writes that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and not by works. And there is an interesting scripture in Galatians chapter 3, which I want to really focus in on as a text in this, and it's on in chapter 3, verse 12, the first part of verse 12, where Paul writes in Galatians that the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. And so, right then and there, that's very simple, very brief, very straightforward. The law is not of faith. Therefore, we do not want to confuse the two. Because if we do, we're going to run into all kinds of trouble and error. There are, reading an article, in this article, the writer points out there are five things about the law, about works, good works, that we need to keep in mind.
And I just want to run through these five somewhat quickly. I think the third one, the doing of the work, I want to linger on a little bit. But the first one is that works, good works, works according to law, are conscious works. In our case, really, self-conscious works. The second thing I want to talk about is that that work, the word itself in the Greek, is exertion. To work is to exert oneself. And that's the doing of good works as well. The third thing has to do with work being doing. You do work. You do something. It's an activity of doing. And the fourth thing, will be very, very brief, would be that the Bible indicates that we need to do our works in such a way that others see them. They need to be observed. They're not done in a void or a vacuum. And the fifth, which is the last point, and very briefly, I will say that works are either good or bad. Either good or evil. Those five characteristics of works, of work in general, of good works, really cover a lot of what the Scripture has to say. The Scripture talks about working doing good deeds and such throughout, from Genesis to Revelation. It speaks about doing good things. It doesn't just leave us alone when it comes to acting. So, for example, in terms of consciousness, the work that we do, the good work or the evil work that is done, is a conscious, willing effort on our part, right? It's something that, of course, is embedded in what James is saying, that we are not just to hear, we are to do. We are to hear something and consciously, willingly set in place or set out to do something. Now, the heavens declare the glory of God, right? And we're told, and the firmament shows his handiwork. But you see, the heavens can't help doing, can't help but do that. They are praising God, yes, but not in a conscious, willing, or self-conscious way. They simply, by their existence, declare the glory of God. That's not so with any of the creatures in earth, except man. Yes, I've spoken about this before, where animals have consciousness, but they're not self-conscious. They're not self-aware. They don't have remembrances and nostalgias and try to apply that to the present and into their future. They're not reasoning creatures or moral creatures. So even they do not willfully and reasonably and morally work. But work is, for the most part, when it comes to us, it's a conscious act. It's a willful act that sets out. So we set out to either do good willfully or evil. And it's not an accident. It's not something that is automatic. Is instinct in us. Animals live by instinct and conditioning and some ability to think, but we live generally by conscious, willful action. So that's the first thing in order to understand what James is talking about, what Paul is talking about, what God is talking about in the Scriptures concerning doing good works. They're conscious. They're willful. Involves volition. The second thing about doing good works or works is that it is exertion. The word, the Greek word for work, in the Bible is the word ergon, from which we derive our English word energy, or energize. And so work is exerting energy. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10 that I labored more abundantly than they all. The word labor that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 15:10 refers to exhaustive toil. I have exhausted myself for the cause of Christ and to promote the gospel. And how did he do that? Well, he did that by suffering afflictions, imprisonments, stripes or beatings, hunger, thirst, shipwreck, slander. You know, it took a lot of exertion, a lot of effort for Paul to bring the gospel to the various places on his missionary journeys. It wasn't easy. It was work. It was labor to do that. Now let's just stop a moment and consider this. The idea that we are saved by our works. When you think about work, what it is, what the word means, energy and labor, exhaustive toil. When you think about a gospel that says that we are saved by faith and works, as Rome says, and others as well, liberals say, and others who say we're saved by faith and works, that's a terrifying thing. Just think about it. It's exhausting enough for you and for me who believe that we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. It's exhausting enough to do works, good works, for the Christian, because what did Paul say? Well, Paul said that the good I don't do, but the evil I would not, that I do. It's a struggle to do good works. It's certainly a struggle to do them consistently, and it's just out of range to do them perfectly. So a gospel or a teaching that says that we're saved by faith and works, that we are saved by our works, is just impossible. It's just overwhelming. You can kill yourself trying, it's not going to work. Now, the thing I want to linger on just a little bit longer than I have these other two points, these first two points, is what James talks about in doing. You know, he says that we ought to be not just hearers of the word, but doers. Right? Okay. Of course, you know, James is right when he says that, but we want to unpack what is meant by being a doer, doing good works, doing things that the law requires of us to do. We must do them, yes, but not for salvation, not to get salvation. I do good works. You do good works. The Holy Spirit inspired James to say that believers do good works. So working and doing are synonyms. Similar meanings. They go together. If I'm working, I'm doing something. If I'm not working, I'm not doing anything. And we have the testimony of Scripture. Just to read a couple of things. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. From the very beginning, right? And like I said, the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation talk about doing, talk about work, talk about labor. I speak about this constantly. So it's not something we can ignore. It's just something we need to put in place, in the right place, and be instructed by the Word of God, of course, and have a clear understanding. And remember what I said, what Paul said. The law, which is the basis for doing things good, holy, is not of faith. The law and faith do not, they're not the same thing. They are opposites. The law is not of faith. We are saved by faith, not by the law, not by works, not by labor. And yet, the Bible tells us, 6 days you shall do all your work. You shall labor and rest on the seventh day, which is known to us now as the Lord's Day. Remember what Jesus said? Now, Jesus did works perfectly, and therefore they were meritorious. They were applied to us. Jesus did perfect work, right? And what he said here in John, for example, my meat, you know, my substance, my living, if you will, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And he did it. From beginning to end in his life, but particularly when he began his ministry, that's all he did. He worked for his Father in heaven and for us. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. This is for the Christian, says the Apostle Peter. Rich people, they are to do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and our Father by him. So, doing, working, laboring is clearly in the New Testament as well. It's throughout. And of course, James points this out, that you can't just be a hearer, you have to be a doer, a worker, a good worker. The Belgian Confession talks about, it addresses the question, why must we still do good works? If we're saved by grace, through faith, why must we still do good works? And I think you know the answer. We've talked about this before. The Confession in Article 24 says, therefore we do good works, but not to merit by them. For what can they possibly merit us? Jesus merited all. What is our work going to do? Nay, we are beholden to God for the good works we do, not he to us. Right? So we are beholden to God. We show forth the praises of him with whom we have to do. We want to establish God in all that we say and do. He's not beholden to us that, oh God, you have to pay me back for what I have done. We are beholden to God for the good works we do, not he to us, since it is he that works in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. Let us therefore attend to what is written, when ye have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. What further proves that works and faith are opposed, are opposite conceptually, is that you bring before the law faith. And what does the law say? What do you do? What are you doing? Faith is not work. Right? We don't do faith. We don't do knowledge. We don't do trust. But we do work. We do the law. We do the commands of God. Those things we do. But we don't do faith. And so if you bring up faith before the law says, what are you doing? That's not law. That's not work. That's faith. And the law is not of faith. So I don't recognize faith as a work. I only recognize doing. Now it's true, the gospel commands us to believe, but that's the gospel. The gospel can frame it in such a way and say, believe, repent, and believe in Jesus Christ. But the law commands, do this and live. Do that and live. Paul writes that the law says, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Faith says, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in what He has done. You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. He's done everything for you. So that you don't have to do anything to be saved. You just have to believe. Even repentance is not really doing like the law commands. That we do something, we do some work. Faith, says Professor Hanko, is exactly the opposite of law. Faith does not nor operate on the principle of doing or working. Faith is exactly not a matter of working. There are those who claim that faith is a work of man, an activity of man's own free will. In a subtle way, they change the correct statement, man is saved by faith alone, to mean man is saved by the work of believing. But again, believing is not a work, not in the way the Greek would have it, not in the way of exertion, not in the way of laboring, not in the way of spending oneself to the point of death, even, to do a work. It's an activity. Faith is an activity. But confessions, the three forms of unity, like to use the word embrace. And they give an example of the eye and the hand to illustrate what faith and work is like. The eye, right? What's the eye do? The eye looks out and it sees a beautiful object. It didn't produce that object. Remember, work produces something. It labors towards something. It produces something. It performs something. The eye doesn't do anything to make that object beautiful. The object is beautiful. What the eye does is it beholds it and it fixes the heart on it to embrace it. the hand is what does the labor. Likewise, faith. What faith does, it beholds the beautiful Jesus in the gospel. And it fixes the heart of the soul. It fixes the heart on him. Work is what comes or flows out of the faith as gratitude and thankfulness and as fruit being developed from the vine. He is the vine and we are the branches, and we produce fruit for Jesus. And it's much better to think of it that way than to try to exert yourself to exhaustion to try to get salvation, to achieve salvation. That's never going to happen. It can't happen. But faith beholds Jesus, the beauty of him, fixes the heart upon him. And then fruits flow out of a life full of faith. The fourth thing I like to say is that work is, good works are known by others. Right? They're seen by others. Just like the artist. The artist creates a work, a masterpiece. It's not just an idea in his mind that stays there. It's in a gallery. He produced it, puts it in a gallery for it to be observed. Likewise, our good works are to be observed as a witness to others. And that's why it's so important that James says you can't just hear and then go off. You have to do. You have to live what you've heard. And so the apostle explains, Peter explains, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So people are to see that Christ has impacted our lives by our good deeds, by our good works. They are to be witnesses for Jesus. And sometimes they witness without a word. You must be a Christian. I can tell you believe in Jesus Christ. And in another place, Peter talks about the woman winning her husband, her unbelieving husband, over by her chaste behavior without a word. And so it is important that we as Christians are visible. And that's why living the life of a hermit, a recluse, is not the call. Because we're called, as James points out, to be doers of the word. We need to be visible. We need to be out there. We need to be instructing the people, not only by our words, but by our deeds. That we belong to Jesus. And also, our good works, come the day of visitation, will vindicate God. For he's going to judge everyone according to the works done in the body, whether good or evil. And our works will vindicate him. We live for Jesus. You did not. And finally, works, whichever they are either good or evil. Think of faith as a motive. I do all things that I do now by faith in the Son of God, because of faith in the Son of God. My life is lived with the motive that I want to glorify God in whatever I say or do. Now, I'm not perfect about it, and you aren't either. We know that. And there are faults and flaws all over the place. My personality, all kinds of things. It's like my music, right? When I sing, you don't want to hear me sing. Sometimes when I do a good thing, you don't want to see it because it's just all mangled. It's That's my imperfection. That's your imperfection. But a work is good or evil based on what our motive is. Now, the motive of the unbeliever is to glorify himself or to glorify another or to promote some belief that he has other than that which is scriptural. And so when he eats and drinks and does not do it to the glory of God, he sins. Every time he takes a morsel of food, he sins. Whereas when I or you do it, we do it to the glory of God. And so every morsel we eat is to the glory of God. It's a good work. It's a good deed. There's a knot. So this is just, these are just five characteristics of faith and work, and mainly work that we have to keep in mind. Never confusing the two. Yes, we are about the two. We ought to do the two. We ought to believe, and believing is to embrace Jesus. The confessions like to use that term, embrace Jesus. And then we ought to work out our salvation with much fear and trembling, knowing all along whatever we do, whatever we work, labor we exert, it's God in us to will and do of His good pleasure. And so all the credit, all the glory goes to Him. And the works that are meritorious, that get us into heaven, are not our works, but they're the works of Jesus Christ. To God be the glory in Jesus Christ. It's the right way to be. It's the right way to think. It's perfect teaching. It's perfect instruction for us to have and to hold. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, bless us on our way. May we work, as James points out, be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And do those things which he says, for example, when he says that we are to put off, lay aside all filthiness and superfluidity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, and become doers of that which is right. We ought to put off that which is evil and bad, and we need to put on the things which Christ has told us to put on through the Scriptures. But help us never to confuse that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, which is an instrument and not a work. It is the work of God, perhaps, but it is not our work. It is your work, giving us an instrument through which we receive grace. Help us, O Lord, to glorify your name in what we say, what we think and say, and yes, do. To the glory of God and Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.